Now it's my great honor. We have a very special morning plan for you to have a conversation with our very senior administrators here at the University of Virginia. And it is first my honor to introduce Bob Sweeney, who is the Senior Vice President for Development and Public Affairs. He has really been the architect of our last two major campaigns. He came here in 1991. And as I travel, since I've been with the University Advancement Services for the last 6 years or 5 years, I've traveled around the country, and Mr. Bob Sweeney is the leader in the advancement services world in guiding the University of Virginia to its great excellence. He is also the founder and father of the Office of Engagement, which UVA Clubs is part of. And so, welcome, Bob Sweeney. And now, I'd like to introduce our eighth president at the University of Virginia, Teresa Sullivan. She joined the University of Virginia in August of this past year, and she came to us as the former provost and executive vice president for academic affairs at the University of Michigan. And she's going to today share a little bit of her insights of what's happening at the University of Virginia today. And then following that, we're going to have a Q&A, a question and answer period. Many of you submitted questions in advance for both Bob and President Sullivan, and we will take that opportunity to answer those questions. And if time allows, we'll take a few from the floor as well, so be thinking about those questions. So please put your hands together and welcome our President, Teresa Sullivan.
The minute that my election was announced, I really couldn't walk through an airport anywhere in the United States without having somebody stop me and say, "Aren't you the new president at UVA?" In fact, somebody in Bob's office, Ida Lee Wooten, who is in charge of our community relations here in Charlottesville, is thought by many to look like me, and she also cannot walk through an airport. I really think that the strength of the engagement is remarkable. Let me tell you a story. Before I arrived on grounds, I tried to spend a weekend a month in Virginia, and on one of those occasions, I was meeting with some people near Richmond, and one of the men there told me a story. He was not himself an alum, but his daughter was a student at the law school. And so that summer, between her second and third year, she had a clerkship with a firm in New York, very common career path for law students to take. And so she was in a big Wall Street firm, hundreds of lawyers, and she was in a tiny little office that had two desks. She was at one desk, and at the other desk was another clerk who was in the same position at Columbia Law School. So the firm sent out an email that said, "Please welcome so-and-so from the University of Virginia, who is here clerking between her second and third year, and so-and-so from Columbia University, who is here clerking between her second and third year." So everybody in the firm knew who was there. And the phone began ringing for the Virginia student almost immediately. And lawyers began dropping by and saying, "You know, let me take you to lunch. Would you like to go out for coffee? We're going to have a drink after work. I just came by to see you." You know, they sent her emails, they sent her notes. Every attorney who had graduated from UVA got in touch with her immediately. Meanwhile, over at the other desk, even though there were hundreds of lawyers from Columbia too, not a single call. Nobody reached out. And of course, the student from Columbia said, "What is it about Virginia?" "Well, it's something special. You know, it's a relationship that lasts for a lifetime. And you are the people who help make that real for the alumni who live in your area. Because that's the way they get connected with other alumni. And so many of them really want to do that. That's one of the ways that they stay in touch themselves with the time of their life that was very special. And to help that continue and to make it special for the students who are on grounds today. So I want to thank all of you for the many ways that you help maintain that connection, because I think it's one of the things that's really part of the special sauce about UVA. So talk a little bit about what I'm doing. I have a lot of succession planning going on. Two of the university's top leaders are leaving at the end of this academic year. And by the way, that was not my decision, that was their decision. One of them is Leonard Sandridge, whom I'm sure many of you know. Leonard has been operating as Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, but he's been at the university 44 years. And there's not very much here that Leonard doesn't know about. Carl Zeithammel, who's the dean of the McIntyre School of Commerce, is chairing a search committee to look for a successor to Leonard. Leonard really can't be replaced. He can only be succeeded. And but I am pleased to say that Leonard's going to stay on as a consultant to me. He said he wanted to go part-time. Part-time for Leonard's about 40 hours a week, so that's actually okay with me. And not surprisingly, he wants to spend a little more time with his grandchildren. I understand that perfectly. But I'm glad that I will still have access to his wisdom and his base of expertise. The other person who will be retiring is Tim Garson, who is Executive Vice President and Provost, and who previously was the Dean of the Medical School. David Brenneman, who was the former Dean of the Curry School of Education, is chairing that committee. And we are just beginning now to organize that search and to review nominations. So I may have to make an interim appointment there because that committee needs time to do its work. But we'll keep both those searches moving at a brisk pace. It's really important to us to find the right people for these positions. If any of you have candidates that you would like to nominate, we'd be happy to hear about your nominations for it. Those of you in Richmond, I spent a lot of time there in the last couple of months. The General Assembly has been meeting, and it appears it's still kind of meeting. Although the session was supposed to end on the 26th, they've not reached agreement on the budget yet. Last summer, Governor McDonnell appointed a commission on higher education and charged it to find a way with generating more degrees for Virginians. The goal was to get 100,000 additional Virginians with college degrees over the next 15 years. The former rector of UVA, Tom Farrell, chaired that commission, and the current rector, Debbie Wynn, and the former rector, Haywood Fralin, are also members of it. So we were well represented there. Earlier this winter, the commission produced a set of recommendations that became the foundation of the governor's legislation, which confusingly goes by two names. It's called the Top Jobs Legislation, and it's also called the Virginia Higher Education Opportunity Act of 2011, but they're the same act. And so the recommendations included boosting the number of graduates, and particularly the number of graduates from the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and creating new options for expedited degree attainment, among other priorities. The governor also included $50 million for higher education to support these legislative priorities. So we're pursuing some initiatives that align with the commission's recommendations. And these include increasing the enrollment of students in the STEM fields. We are the smallest engineering school in our peer group. And Dean Ehler feels that if our engineering school was a bit larger, we would be able to provide more depth and slightly more width in terms of what we can offer our engineering students. We'd like to be able to hire some additional engineering faculty. Increasing the size of that student body modestly would help us. I also propose to the faculty that we offer programs for accelerated bachelor's degrees with an option for a master's degree in a fourth year. This is called the 3+1 plan. The average entering student at UVA brings 18 hours of college credit. And so essentially they've already got one semester behind them. Many of them could graduate in 3 years, but they don't want to. If, however, they would be interested in finishing the undergraduate degree in 3 years and then staying 12 more months to get a master's degree, that could be a good value proposition for them and for their parents. And it's not for every student. Some students don't come in knowing what they want to do. Some of them want to get double majors, and you know, there's all kinds of reasons why students might not want to do that. But for the students who are interested, this is a program we would like to develop. We already have two of these one-year master's programs in the McIntyre School. We also have one in environmental science, and we have one in English as well. So some of these programs are already on the books. We've just never advertised this as a coordinated 3+1. So I'm advertising it to the parents as good value proposition. I'm advertising it to the students as walk the lawn twice, once at the end of your third year and once at the end of your fourth year. It also helps meet the governor's requirement because if we get the undergraduates through in 3 years, it frees up more space in the entering class for additional entering students. The governor is very eager to have us increase the use of our facilities. I would like to see our January term expand. And so that's one thing we will seek to do next year. The governor and the commission also want to see us make greater use of grounds in summer. Well, our residence halls are 80% full in the summer, but not with college students. We do a lot of high school enrichment programs. And so this is one where I've got to sit down with the governor and say, do you want us to continue to serve these high school students? Or do you want us to do just college students in the summer? Because we can't do both. You're not going to put high school students in apartments around grounds. So we actually are pretty busy in the summer, although the perception is that the whole place is empty here in the summer. That's not really true. We're also seeking to boost the enrollment of our adult students. If you see today's Charlottesville Progress, there's a great story about a 66-year-old man who's in study here in Charlottesville. But we also make it possible for adult learners to complete a degree in Hampton Roads area in Northern Virginia and now in Richmond. This is principally for students who've already gotten some college, but because of family or work opportunities right now, they're not going to relocate to Charlottesville. They're typically older than 25, and they often take just one class at a time. But when they complete the degree, they come back and walk the lawn, just like our other degree completers do. And increasing investments in technology-enhanced education. We have a program right now called Produced in Virginia, not much known, but it's offered through community colleges. A student who completes the associate's degree in a relevant field, such as engineering technology, can then get the last 2 years of an engineering curriculum online at their community college, but delivered by UVA engineering faculty. This program, called Produced in Virginia, has been successful. The engineering faculty are very happy with the quality of the graduates coming from it. And again, it means that a student could get an engineering degree without having to leave their home community in Virginia. The commission report did not talk about the very sensitive issue of the ratio of in-state to out-of-state students. And our Board of Visitors intends to protect the current ratio at 70-30, 70% in-state, 30% out-of-state. We think geographic diversity among our students is important. We want to continue to attract students from around the country and around the world. And I bet your neighbors, wherever your club is located, feel the same way about it. To do this, however, because of the, frankly, political pressure that is building on us to take more Virginia students, we have a plan to increase enrollment modestly so that it will produce more spaces for Virginians, but then it'll also produce more space for non-Virginians. This would be a long, slow buildup to add probably 1,400 additional undergraduates over a period of probably 5 years on top of our current enrollment projections. So to give you an idea of how gradually we're talking about 50 more students for next year. So this would be a very slow buildup. I have also said to the General Assembly that unless they're willing to put forward the funds to help pay for this, I'm not willing to go ahead with it, because we do need to hire additional faculty and staff. We believe that we currently have the physical infrastructure needed in terms of housing and dining and recreation spaces. It probably will mean that we'll have to have more classes at unpopular times, maybe even unpopular days like Friday. So to me, the good news in Richmond, as I met with the General Assembly, is that legislators in both houses and on both sides of the aisle genuinely appreciate what we do in higher education, in particular. They're very proud of UVA. It's not that they don't want us to have money. It's that they don't have the revenues. And it's a politically difficult time to try and raise additional revenues. So our problem is really making the best use of the revenue we have. Despite all the goodwill, we will take another cut from them this year. And that's pretty much inevitable because about $14 million of our state appropriation was stimulus funding. And that money is going away. So we will be tightening our belts again. For those of you in the private sector, that's hardly a surprise. You've been doing that for a long time. But actually, I want you to know we've been doing it for a long time, too. And it is difficult now in some of our fields because we are beginning to lose faculty who are being attracted elsewhere by higher salaries. When I ask the General Assembly for more money, it's not that I'm looking to, you know, build more palaces on grounds. That's not the intention. We actually need it for personnel purposes to keep our good faculty and staff here, and if we're going to expand, to hire more. Well, so all of that brings me to the subject of private support, Bob Sweeney's favorite topic. As we go into the end of the capital campaign, we have a theme, which is the heart of the grounds. And those of you who are wearing that little orange heart with the V in it, that symbolizes the heart of the grounds. So the heart of the grounds is the people who are here. It's support for faculty, it's support for students. That includes support for students to gain international experience, and also support for the initiatives that make a university a university. Universities need to be on the cutting edge in terms of research and scholarship and the arts. So that's what the heart of the grounds means. It also has a physical embodiment, which is the rotunda. Those of you who have passed the rotunda have seen those ugly black cargo nets that are around the Corinthian capitals on the columns. Those cargo nets are there to keep the marble from falling on the people below. When I went down to testify at the General Assembly, I brought with me a little baggie with pieces that have fallen off. And at the bottom of the baggie is what looks like sand. The marble is undergoing a process that architects call sugarizing. It is literally crumbling away. The good news is that the General Assembly, both houses, were responsive about this. They don't agree about how much money they want to give us, but I do think we will get at least something from them for the most immediate need, which is to repair the roof. The roof of the rotunda leaks. And any of you who are homeowners know that we don't want to get water inside the structure. So our very first priority is get the roof structurally sound. But we are going to have to replace all those columns. And it won't surprise you to hear that that won't be cheap. And as soon as we begin any renovation, we are required to make the building more accessible to people with disabilities. And the rotunda is not very accessible right now. So there's going to be a fair amount of work required in terms of putting in elevators and ramps and other things to make the building more accessible. There is no way to avoid that, but I actually don't want to avoid that. I would like for everybody to be able to see the rotunda. And it's very difficult right now, if you're in a wheelchair, to see anything beyond the first floor of the rotunda. Well, one more set of remarks, and then I'm going to sit down with Bob, and we will do some Q&A with you. So, you know, people said to me, why would you leave the University of Michigan to go to Virginia? And, you know, Michigan's a pretty good school, too. It is. You know, Michigan is an excellent school. I felt there was something special about UVA that I wanted to be part of. UVA is very close to the geographic, but also the intellectual heart of the founding of the Republic. The Jeffersonian legacy is very strong here, and not just Jefferson, but also Madison and Monroe. Their views were, you know, certainly influential, not just in the 1700s and the early 1800s when they lived and wrote. They're still influential today. We've just signed an agreement with Peking National University for a joint study program of the foundational documents of Chinese culture and American culture, because the Chinese want to learn more about Jefferson. At the same time, the state of Texas has taken Thomas Jefferson out of their standards for high school social science. There's much controversy there about whether Jefferson's notion of the common good is not a socialist concept. What we see happening is that in the United States, the democratic prospect is actually coming under some scrutiny. We seem to have gridlock in many of our political institutions. We seem to have difficulty building consensus. And many Americans have said, it's all just too complicated, we can't do anything. That is not what I see from UVA graduates. Mm-hmm. What I see from UVA graduates is a strong can-do spirit, a sense that leadership is something they know how to do and they are ready to do, and that values make a difference. The values of honor and commitment and loyalty mean something to them. I think that the future of the United States rests critically on the shoulders of UVA graduates and the kind of students like them who are graduated elsewhere. But I think we graduate more of them here in Charlottesville than anywhere else in the country. And I think it's very important for the future of the country. So that's why I'm glad to be associated with this project. That's why I'm glad to be associated with UVA, because I think that's how important it is. Now we'll do some Q&A.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your first impressions. And some of our club leaders wanted to know a little bit more, if there were any other impressions that you might have. What are you most excited about, any concerns, and any visions for the future that you would like to say beyond what you've shared at the podium?
So UVA has really great people. It has wonderful students. I described them just a minute ago. I mean, they're really wonderful, and you know this from your own experience there. Some of your best friends today are probably still friends you made at UVA, and there's good reason for that. The faculty are magnificent, and they're very dedicated. You know, they've worked through 3 years now with no raises, and you know, like everybody in the country, they're very worried about the economic situation, including that of their own families. The staff are equally dedicated. You know, it snowed here one night, and at 3 a.m, I heard the unmistakable sound of the scrape of a snow shovel, which I'm familiar with from Michigan. And sure enough, there were staff members who were out there to make sure that that long drive down from Cars Hill didn't cause somebody to lose their footing and slip. And they were out at 3 a.m. working. I think it's just very impressive to see that kind of dedication to the institution. My long-run worry really is financial. We are very close to the margin here in terms of our competitiveness. We're not close to the margin if we want to slide down the ladder and be, you know, a sort of a good school. But I don't see that being anybody's aspiration around here, to be a sort of a good school. So I am worried about the long-term financials, particularly as the private institutions with whom we compete begin to rebound strongly. So, you know, last week I had two biologists who had outside offers, unbelievable outside offers. I couldn't come close to matching them. I did put an offer on the table, and we did retain them, and I'm very glad that we did. But we're not going to be able to keep everybody here. And so I worry about that a lot. If I wake up in the middle of the night worrying about something, that would be it. It's the long-term financial stability. You know, partly because we get so much less money from the state than other public institutions do. So this year we got about $120 million for a student enrollment of 21,000. Michigan, where I came from, which is ground zero in the recession, 15% unemployment, that was $317 million appropriated for 41,000 students. So, you know, quite a bit more generous. We get about $8,400 per Virginia resident here. University of North Carolina Chapel here gets $24,000 per North Carolina resident. So, you know, that's the kind of difference we're seeing. So we've had to make up for it in tuition. And that's obviously not popular with parents, and it's really not popular with elected officials. But I don't have much alternative. There are two sources of the operating budget. There's a state appropriation, and there is tuition. The endowment, of course, helps us a great deal, but the endowment money has mostly been earmarked by the benefactor for a particular purpose, which, of course, is their right, and it's our duty to make sure it's spent for the purpose for which it was given. And that has actually kept a lot of our units in the game. It's been the margin of excellence, but it's not an undifferentiated pot of money I can just dip into when I need to keep a biologist, for example. So, that's I think, the big issue that I worry about. It's money.
Thank you. The next question is for Bob Sweeney. And since you created the Office of Engagement 6 years ago within your division, what are the biggest changes you've seen in alumni and parent engagement during this period of time?
Well, over the 20 years that I've been at the University of Virginia, I was thinking about this the other day in preparation for a board meeting. We've generated about $4.5 billion in support, both inside and outside of campaigns. And yet, one of the things that I'm most proud of was the work that we did together to, when President Castine charged me with looking at what would the ideal alumni relations, parent relations experience be at the University of Virginia. And we brought together this blue ribbon task force of colleagues of yours, alums all over the country. And we decided that we could build something here that was actually unique in all of higher education, and that is a partnership between the university and an office of engagement and the Alumni Association. And so what have I seen? I've seen a change that I think could not have been anticipated from a program that had 100 and some events. You use the word exponential, and it sounds like hyperbole, but when you go from 100 events to 200 events to 400 events to 800 events, and this year at 1,400 events, the thing that I've most enjoyed is that we have built our clubs program just like we've built the student experience at the University of Virginia, that it is a combination of some guidance from the university and support in the background from the university, while at the same time allowing our club leaders to really be the independent people and the leaders in their community that they are. So we've had this really unusual partnership where we now have structure to our clubs, but at the same time a tremendous amount of freedom. The other thing that I feel so strongly about is the impact that I believe that we're making on the students that are arriving today and becoming young alumni tomorrow. One of the programs that we put together that you've probably heard about is UVA Express. And when I had heard that, my thought was that foreign students coming into the University of Virginia were all wealthy. And I didn't know that sometimes in some of these countries, parents had sold homes to be able to allow their child to attend the university, and that these students were coming into the United States the very first time when they arrived to come to the University of Virginia, and not knowing this country, they thought that they could take a cab from National Airport to Charlottesville or be in the bus station in Washington. And to think of an 18-year-old that may have some language difficulties sitting in the D.C. bus station all night long is a pretty scary prospect. And yet the UVA Express now is regarded as one of the top programs in the country. And I guess the point I'm trying to make with that is that when we bring these students in and we take their bags to their room and faculty and other students and alums are helping them and there's a reception area, my belief is that when they talk about the experiences that define their time at the University of Virginia, the fact that they were welcomed, that they were embraced when they were at absolutely their most vulnerable moment, I think is what the club experience at the university is all about. And we see that happening again and again throughout the life of our alums. So this was kind of an experiment at the University of Virginia, and now I would say that we are regarded not with the public universities, but with that handful of the elite private universities in the country relative to the quality of our alumni relations programming. And again, the other thing is that the holistic approach of engaging the entire families, alumni, parents, students, we're now seeing in our club programs the emergence of parents in a way that we never dreamed possible.
Excellent. Thank you. The next one is for President Sullivan. Based on your visions for the future of UVA, what role do you see alumni and parent engagement having on the success of the University of Virginia?
Well, I think that the alumni and parent engagement is incredibly important for the students who are currently in study, because it's a vote of confidence in them that says that what they do and what they seek to accomplish is important. And of course, it's very practical as well, as many of them eventually get their jobs through connections that they make through one or another alumnus groups. And many of you know that an important function of your UVA club is that it's a networking experience too. So, I think that's part of it. I just also want to say that I think for the faculty, it's a huge vote of confidence. It's a reassurance that what they've dedicated their life to makes a difference. You know, there are times when it's 11 o'clock at night and you still got 50 blue books to go through, when you sort of wonder, gee, should I have really spent my life doing this? But for a faculty member like that, then to go to a UVA club and give a lecture and have alumni say, wow, it's so great to hear you, it reminds me of how wonderful it was to be on grounds. For a faculty member, that also makes it worth it. So I think the family experience is important to all of us, and the family includes the alumni, but increasingly the involvement of the parents is also, to me, very welcome. I like seeing the parents care that much about what happens at the school that's educating their children.
The next question is for Bob. How do you see alumni and parent engagement playing a role in the overall development strategy, the fundraising strategy that you've set out?
Obviously, it's crucial. I've been in philanthropy now for 38 years, and one of the very first things I learned was the five I's in terms of how you create philanthropy: identification, information, interest, involvement, investment. And that giving comes not out of some slick solicitation, but this information, involvement, investment. And what we're seeing right now in our engagement programs, and I've really come to be a big believer in this, is that the level of engagement, involvement, ownership of the institution absolutely is the direct correlation to philanthropy. And so I believe that the strengthening of our programs in our club structures, the amount of contact that we have with alums that is increasingly becoming not face-to-face, but a variety of different social media and electronic means, I believe is absolutely crucial to the relationship of fundraising at the university. One of the things that we've done is we're doing a lot more careful study, and you would be amazed if you were to take a look at those who attend UVA club events, not only alums but parents, and the percentage of their participation in philanthropy. It really is, in some of the clubs, it's pretty stunning, the number of those that participate and get involved and the relationship to their giving. So I believe that it's crucial. I think Terry mentioned something in that this has been something that this is not a pipe dream. When you have a $2.2 billion operating budget and $120 million coming from the state, you're now seeing that the notion of a privately financed public university that maintains its founding public mandate, this is not just rhetoric around the University of Virginia. There are more endowment dollars and more gift dollars in our operating budget by a good measure than there is state support. So we are truly unique, I think, among American public universities in our dependence on private support. And as Terry mentioned again earlier, our ability to be among the elite universities in this nation is not going to come by some epiphany from the Commonwealth of Virginia to dramatically increase funding. We are now in control of our own destiny. As I look out at this room, you really control the future excellence of the University of Virginia through your involvement and then ultimately your philanthropy.
Great, thank you. Well, I mentioned a little bit about UVA Express for our international students, and this next question is for President Sullivan. Our international engagement really took off just 2 years ago, and now we have, we started off with just 10 events 2 years ago. Now the alumni and parents involved outside the U.S. are gathering 125 times to really build that network. What role do you see our alumni and parents in the UVA clubs that are outside the U.S.? And many of them are here with us in spirit. They're not here today. It's a little bit of a journey for those folks to come for the weekend, but they are here with us in spirit. What role do you see that our UVA clubs outside the U.S. having on the global footprint and your vision for us to be a global university?
Well, I think, an important part of this is raising the awareness of UVA. UVA is very well known inside the United States and in some countries, but there are other countries where we are less well known. And the advantage of that is that we attract the interest of good students, and they're encouraged to come here and then ideally return to their home country and become active alumni there. Another thing that's important about the alumni connection internationally is that it's very helpful for us in helping to plan our international programs for the students who are currently here. Our students are very eager to have international experiences. Some of them can't afford a full semester abroad, but they could maybe do a January term abroad, and so we look for good opportunities for them. Our students like to be in situations where they can engage in service learning. They don't want to be tourists. They want to learn more. And so often alumni can help us see what those kinds of opportunities could be. And I think that will be very important to us as we continue to expand our efforts to provide more international education for the students who are here on grounds. And by the way, I think that's really essential for the student experience, because most of them are not going to go out and work simply with other Americans. The world is changing too fast. They're going to be on work teams that have international participants. They may have a boss who says to them, I need to have you to be in Bangkok on Monday. And they need to be able to go and, you know, be able to be comfortable in another culture and acquire some level of cultural competence in dealing with people who are not also Americans. So I think it's really important for all kinds of reasons that our international alumni help us and stay engaged with us.
Excellent. Thank you. Next question for both Bob and President Sullivan is regarding faculty involvement. And you talked a little bit about the joy that a faculty member might have going out to a UVA club and seeing former students. Last year, through our lifelong learning program, 103 faculty members presented 166 times to our alumni parents and friends. How important is it for you that we provide a forum for our faculty members to share their current expertise with our alumni parents and friends? And if you both could kind of answer that question, and Bob, maybe talk afterwards about some of the things that you're working on to do that.
One of the things I really like seeing about UVA alumni is how intellectually engaged they remain after they leave the university. And so while it's great to have happy hours and go to sports bars and, you know, watch the Cavaliers play and so on, I get the sense that an awful lot of your clubs are also very interested in more intellectual engagement for your members. And that's where I think faculty members can, you know, play a great role. I think a lot of them are very interested in talking to alumni groups. They like talking about what they're working on. And we have faculty members who do so many interesting and wonderful things. You know, we have medical researchers working on every kind of disease possible and working on all kinds of new therapies. We have law faculty and Batten School faculty who know about every important public policy initiative underway and can often discuss it meaningfully from both sides. We have people in McIntyre and in Darden who have worked in nearly every kind of industry and who can talk about all sorts of trends in those industries and why it makes a difference for, you know, people who work in related industries. And then, of course, we've got all the faculty from the college who can give those great lectures you remember from when you were an undergraduate yourself about things that, you know, maybe you didn't care about when you're an undergraduate but now look a lot more interesting to you. So I think there's just lots of ways that the faculty would be interested in engaging if you can extend the invitation and we can make it possible for them to go.
I've come to the conclusion that for this university to reach its founding potential, that it's going to need to actually reach beyond its own alumni and engage people that share the same values that we share and have some of the excitement of regarding the kinds of research and programs that we conduct here. And I'll give you an example or two. We have in Bob Pianta and his program, CASEL, the Center for the Advancement and Study of Teaching and Learning, what we believe is the finest evidence-based program in teacher transformation and the both teaching and learning transformation. He's now working in California where he is going to be in 10,000 Head Start classrooms. And the reason I bring this up is that we've been now working with Bob, and Cindy's been a terrific partner with Bob and his team, of bringing Bob to some of the great population centers in the country where they have these really significant K-12 problems. And the reason I mention this is that we believe that the money and the opportunity to transform education can actually sit and can be emanate from the University of Virginia. And we have a number of alums that are extraordinarily interested in this. But what we're hoping is that you're not only going to be able to come and get engaged and excited and support this, but that you'll start bringing members of your own community to these events to hear Bob Pianta so that we can begin spreading the word about what's happening here at this university. We have Tom Scalak, our vice president for research, who is really one of the leaders in the country in innovation, and now he's looking at, you know, how can we bring people beyond our own alums together to help us think about complex systems. And so I see that that our alumni, not only in and of themselves, are going to be powerful advocates for these programs, but they're a terrific leveraging point beyond our club to the leaders in your own communities, bringing them together with the University of Virginia to solve societal problems. So our connection with faculty, I think, is absolutely going to be essential, and I think it's our job to make sure that you're seeing the cutting edge work that's being done here. And I think it's your job to keep pressing us for intellectual content, because I could not agree more with you, Terry, that I think that our programs started taking off, our club programs, when we moved from and again, there's a wonderful place. I love UVA athletics, but when we moved from the sports bar and watching the game on television to the ability to have some of our best and brightest students and faculty engage with you, I think that's when the club programs really started to take off.
Great. Bob, I'm going to have you, this will be our last question that was a pre-populated question, but both our speakers have been so kind to take questions from the floor, and they are both very serious educators. So I'm going to give you a heads up that you better start thinking about your question now, because otherwise they're going to get up and they're going to call on you. So be thinking right now. They will do that. They've done it. Yeah. So anyway, so our final question is, Bob, what are your aspirations for alumni and parent engagement in the next 5 years? A lot of success in the past, but where do you see us going? What's the future hold?
This may surprise you, but I have a dream for alumni engagement that is different than probably any you've heard. Obviously, all of you love being back on grounds at the university, and we love having our alums on grounds. I think that the relationship is enriched exponentially by having you come back to Charlottesville. But one of the things that I've come to understand is that while you were student leaders, and that's probably why you're club leaders, there is an entire population of alums that had a different experience at the University of Virginia, not a less rich experience than you had, but a different experience. They may not have been as heavily involved in clubs and organizations, or in Greek life, or in leading the student life of the university. And so here's my dream. My dream is that an alum who might have been a shyer, more reticent alum could have an entire life and on his or her deathbed say, even though never having come back to Charlottesville, that I had an extraordinary relationship with the University of Virginia as an alumnus. And that would mean that, and this is where you come in, the idea that we reach alumni where they're at. And again, it may be clubs, it may be reunions, it may be homecoming and football games, but it might be the Cavalier Cares program. It might be a small social network on Elizabethan music, where there's a group from around the country, around the world, that shares the same passion that they share about it. And so they feel totally fulfilled in their relationship, although they may not come to a club program because they never quite felt that kind of social engagement. So I believe that our job in the future is going to create the networks, both virtual networks, service networks, involvement networks, that reach our alumni where they're at, and that they will feel fulfilled whether or not they're coming back to the university.
Excellent. And President Sullivan, any other aspirations that you might want to share for the future of alumni and parent engagement?
Well, I like Bob's vision very much. I think the notion that people have a lifelong engagement with UVA is something that we want to promote and enhance. We want today's students to leave here knowing that final exercises isn't final, that it means a degree, but it's the beginning of a different kind of relationship with the university. Just as all of you, because you're still, very vitally engaged in your communities and lots of other things, talking to you. I know you're still intellectually engaged. There's lots of things you're interested in. That's what helps make life rich and fulfilling, and that's what we want for all of our graduates.
I'm going to take this so that you can hear these questions. So who wants to be the first one? Excellent.
Hi, I'm Bill Kroll from the UVA Club of Richmond. My question is this: given what's going on in the Middle East and the move towards democracy, the being led by the youth of these countries, should UVA develop a program to really educate youth in these countries about what democracy really means? You know, we're not a democracy; we're a republic. We have checks and balances. We appreciate the rights of the minority. You know, Sunni or Shiite, for example. And I wonder if we could have some kind of summer program, use the facilities, bring people over, and by the way, when they leave, tell them that they should form the UVA Club of Egypt or Libya or whatever.
You know, that's a really intriguing idea. I will tell you that about 2 weeks ago on grounds, we had a very well-attended panel of faculty members who were Middle Eastern experts talking about what they saw happening in Tunisia and Egypt and Libya. And it was followed by a student panel of students from those countries who were here in study talking about what they were hearing through their family, what they were hearing through tweets from people back home and so on, and explaining how the social networking sites were being used to link people. And it was a great educational experience for our people. But of course, it's relatively few students who are touched that way. So I think it's a really interesting idea. You know, much of this is complicated by Americans' general lack of understanding of Islam. And we hope that our students, when they leave, will not be as uneducated about Islam. We do have a number of Muslim students, and there is very nice interaction among the Muslim students and other students. And we are fortunate that we have students here from 130 countries in the current student body. So lots of our American students get contact with students from many other cultures and get to appreciate it. But there probably is more we could do. And you're right, of course, that you know that America is not just, it's not just democratic. We do have elections, but it's more than that. The checks and balances were very important. Certainly to Madison. And, you know, Madison also understood that there would be political parties and that did not have to be destructive of government. And those are some of those ideas that, you know, don't seem to spread as fast as the general democratic idea spreads. So I think it's an intriguing idea. I'd like to see what some of our faculty would do with it.
Good morning, Bob and President Sullivan. And a concept that I had suggested the other day, the fraternity that I belong to, myself and Joshua, the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, is spearheading the National Martin Luther King Jr. Monument on the Mall. It's a monument that's going to be placed on a four-acre track along the tidal basin adjacent to the FDR Monument. You talk about our footprint, you know, and getting people to be aware of UVA in terms of engagement, et cetera. I don't know if there's any university that's really gotten behind that particular initiative. Now, it's well on its way. It's a $120 million project. They raised already $110 million, so it's a done project. On August 28th, to commemorate the actual March on Washington is when the unveiling will be this year in Washington, D.C. on a Sunday. I'm suggesting if the university somehow or other got behind that in terms of being listed prominently as a university who supported this forever monument that's going to be on the Mall commemorating Martin Luther King, the kind of imprint that would have and say about the university, as well as help that initiative. So I'm encouraging us to consider that as a way to get our name out there and to do something, you know, that's going to be for perpetuity. So
first, I think it's an excellent idea. And second, I think we are probably better positioned than we have ever been to have some of our leaders think about what type of participation the university might engage in. Terry can speak more about this, but we had, in my 20 years, the most impressive Martin Luther King celebration at the university under Dr. Marcus Martin, and literally had thousands of people in the community that took that our students, faculty, and townsfolks from every walk of life. And so, interestingly enough, I would be glad to pass that along to Marcus, because he has been really extraordinary in thinking through kind of new relationships between the university and really the commemoration of Dr. King. Is he really?
Good morning. Michael Pillow from Orlando. Some people I know on grounds currently have said that they're concerned with UVA keeping up technologically in the classroom with technology aids for teachers, et cetera. Do y'all have a perspective on that, number one? Number two, what could we do possibly to help?
So yesterday I was talking to one of my colleagues in the sociology department who's teaching a big 101 class in the New South Lawn. And those buildings are just magnificently equipped with technology. And he was talking about what a difference it made in teaching the class to have, you know, reliable and good technology. It let him do a lot of things with the students that he couldn't do in the old lecture halls he'd been teaching in. So I would say our issue is not that we don't have the technology, it's that we don't have it evenly distributed. So it depends a lot what building you're in. We've got some old buildings that really need renovation and need to have the new technology put in them. I mentioned the rotunda. You know, we do whole classes in the rotunda. Part of our large-scale renovation plan for the rotunda would include putting those new the new technology in the rotunda for those classrooms. Because right now, if you teach in the rotunda, you've got an electrical outlet, and that's about it. And you're lucky to have that. So, I think we're all very interested in it. The university, together with Cisco, Virginia Tech, James Madison, and George Mason, is discussing a partnership which would allow us to do video conferencing from a cloud. And the reason that we're interested in this is that it would let us share classes among the four universities. So, for example, Alan Mertens at George Mason tells me he has two students who would like to take Arabic. But that's not enough for him to hire an Arabic instructor. I, on the other hand, have two seats in an Arabic class that aren't filled. So if we had really good video connection, we could do that. But to teach a language class, you really need excellent connection, because the student needs to be able to hear, and the teacher needs to be able to hear and see how your lips move and so on. So it's really important that we have this connection well done. But I think that's one of the kinds of things we're looking at that we may be able to bring to grounds. But, you know, keeping up with the technology is very important. I told you recently that the University of Michigan gets $317 million a year from the state. Well, the technology spend at the University of Michigan is almost identical to that. Universities are voracious users of technology. Because unlike most businesses, which only have to buy the technology for their own particular industry, we have to buy the technology of every industry, because we're trying to train students in everything. And so that means we have to have clean room technology and engineering, and we have to have state-of-the-art imaging equipment in the medical school, and on and on and on. So technology spends at universities are very big.
Well, thank you. I think that is all the time we have for today. But I want to thank both Bob Sweeney and Teresa Sullivan for joining us today. And one of the themes of this conference is becoming a positive force in any situation. And both of you are certainly a positive force at the University of Virginia. And what we'd like to do on behalf of the UVA clubs and the alumni interest groups is to invite you both to join our book study club. All of our conference participants received Ryan Quinn's book. He's a professor in our Darden School. And so we invite you to join us in this continuing conversation as we try and engage our alumni, parents, and friends throughout the world to the future support of the University of Virginia. So,
thank you.
On behalf of our volunteer leaders, thank you.